Won't that be nice? Finally be in that land that'll never, where we'll never grow old. You know that song, Amazing Grace, one of my favorites. And when we talk about being there 10,000 years, it won't make a difference. Never grow old. And I'm sure that all of us think about that from time to time as we do age. And one of the important things we need to remember is that we're all working toward a goal. And of course, that goal will be able to one day be in the place where we'll never grow old. You know, I'd like to talk with you today just a little bit about growing old and your value. You think about things that grow old, and you know, here's an image of a barn that was taken, and the goal, of course, for many people, they feel like when they get old like that barn, it's time to retire, time to quit. And for some people, they literally do. They quit living. They spend years and years and years planning their retirement. And they look forward to what they call free time. And they forget about how hard it's going to be when you get old. And, you know, that's the concept of retirement. And it isn't necessarily applicable to the people of God's kingdom. Yeah, we're going to grow old. There's, Lord willing, no doubt of that. But retirement from the Lord's body isn't an option. We don't grow old and retire. We just grow older and do different things. And for some, when you get older, you have more time to do more things that would be helpful to the body of Christ. And maybe you slow down and there's fewer things you can do, but there's always something. In the book of Psalm chapter 95, if we look at this text, we're looking at Psalm 95 verses 12 through 15. Psalm 95 verses 12 through 15. And I'm sorry, Psalm 92. Psalm 92. Go back a couple of pages there. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And look here at verse 14. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You notice that verse 14 there. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. And the implication here is that no matter how old you get, you can still bear fruit. You look at this barn up here and you may notice something. It's old, but there's a tractor in there. There's some kind of farm vehicle over here. And I imagine in there it's so dark we can't see, but I'll bet you there's something in there too. It's old and kind of falling down, but you know, it's still valuable. It's still usable. And that's the way we need to be. And when we think of this, that God can, what He does, how elderly work within the body of Christ, we just want to look at that for just a few moments. You know, they shall still bear fruit in the old age is our theme for tonight. And when we think about this, God's use of older people in the Bible, it's plurific everywhere you look. Think about Moses and Aaron. They were chosen to lead the Israelites out of the bondage of the Egyptians. And do you know how old they were? Many of you probably know this, but we're talking 80 and 83 years old. In Exodus chapter 7, at verse 7, they just literally, Moses was 80 years old. 80. And we think of that. 80. And Aaron, it says 83 years. So he was 83. Can you imagine at 83, God calling you to work? And He's not calling you to write a few cards of encouragement or make a few phone calls. He's calling you to work. He's calling you to go out in the fields with the people of Israel. He's calling you to go up and have these moments with Pharaoh. That's work. And when they were already past that normal life span, if you look at Psalm chapter 90 and verse 1, it describes them. It was written by Moses. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. 80 and 10. If by reason of strength, he says. If by reason of strength, they be 80. And yet, their strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. He knows the end's going to come. But did he stop working? No. What about Joshua and Caleb? You know, I remember the first few times I read through that, I didn't really pay attention to details like how old they were. And I thought Joshua and Caleb, those are pretty young names. But they weren't that young, were they? When they were called into service, Joshua was called to lead the people that in the Canaan land, the conquest. And it was in the last 30 years of his life. He lived to be 110. Joshua chapter 24, verse 29. 110. Caleb, he was also very much involved. They were kind of like side by side in this conquest. And he was 85 years old. Joshua chapter 14, you can read about that in verses 6 through 11. Old guys. What about Daniel? You know, I think it's really interesting when we think about Daniel, because at the very beginning of the book we read that he was like very, very young. 14, 17, he's very young when he comes in to captivity and begins to serve. And yet when we think of Daniel in the days of his youth, he was there over 70 years. Over 70 years. And when we read about things that happened in his life, you can read this in the 21st verse of Daniel chapter 1. He's 70 years. So he was well over 80 years old when he served three governors. Over that kingdom of Babylon, Daniel chapter 6 verses 1 through 3. And we read about those things. He was thrown into the lion's den, Daniel 6, 4 through 21. And you know, there's a lot of times when you read about Daniel, especially in children's books, are often inaccurate. Maybe they show pictures like this. Here's this really strong, virile young man sitting in there with the lions. But you know what? That's more accurate. He was an old man. Maybe he had that big beard and all that hair. He was old. When he was thrown into that den of lions, he was way past 15, 17, 18, 20. He was over 80 years old. And if you remember, prior to that, he served the Lord. He was told to worship, not to pray, and he prayed. He didn't turn his back on the Lord. He didn't stop the worship. He didn't. Daniel, 80 years old, thrown into the lion's den. He prospered in the reigns of Darius, Cyrus, and the Persian kings. He went through these different reigns of government. He received a series of visions doing the things that God had called him to do. Daniel chapter 8 through 12. Think about Daniel. Zacharias and Elizabeth, still under the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't come yet. He hadn't died on the cross. They were the parents of John the Baptist. And when we read about them in Luke chapter 1 and at verse 7, what do we read? That they were serving in the temple. They were both well stricken in years. You know, if I said that to my mother, it would be the last time I said that. Because we know what that means. You're old, well stricken in years. And yet they were chosen to be the parents of John the Baptist. And they were serving the Lord in the temple. And when she gave birth to John, Zacharias was. What about Simeon and Anna? If you remember them, the two elderly people that were, they were together. They bore witness of Christ, that child that came to be circumcised, Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 38. They talk about these old people. Simeon, he was old and he was waiting and waiting, waiting to see the Savior, the Messiah. And when he saw him, you know what the reaction is? I can die now. He's just kind of hanging in there long enough to see Jesus. And Anna herself, the scriptures tells us that she's 84 years old. What was she doing there when she was 84 years old? She was serving God, fasting and prayers day and night. 84 years old. And of course, we can move into the New Testament here and talk about Paul the aged. When we think of Philemon, verse 9, what did it, you know, Paul wrote, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." We think of Paul, you know, all the things that happened in his lifetime, in the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians, the book of Philemon, Philemon, and the book of to the Philippians. He was busy writing letters. He didn't waste any time. He was old, Paul the aged, but he was busy. Busy, 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 busy. Traveling about the countryside, doing the work of the Lord, encouraging, visiting, when he was in prison, writing, when he was out of prison, doing all the missionary work. He didn't stop. And there's many other examples that we can use. But, you know, I think you're getting the idea here that no matter how old you are, whether you're in your golden years or whether you're well stricken in years, you're still good to the Lord. You can, as the title, you can still bear fruit in an old age. What about today? What about today? God's use of older people in the church today. When we think about, you know, there's always a need for older people. As far as elders go, men of age and reason and spiritual understanding, did not God design the church? Through the scriptures we read that there would be overseers or elders. Acts chapter 14, we can read about that. Verse 23, Titus, men who would be older and capable of making good, strong teaching and leading the flock. Men who would serve as overseers. They would be good examples of God to the church. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. That was in the New Testament time. That's the time that we're under. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, he says that the elders were the servers, to serve as overseers and examples to God's flock. Witness of the suffering of Christ. They had to be going about the business of the church, bringing glory to God. But they were old. Many male members, you know, seem to retire from active service when they get to a certain age. And listen, we can't do that. We need to be active, especially in a congregation where most of us are of age. There just shouldn't be any stopping. We don't retire like in a secular job. We should still be able to go around even at the age of 65 or older, rather being compared to young people, you know, we can still teach. We're still useful to the Lord. And all we have to do is carry this with us. Carry it in our hearts, carry it in our mind, carry it in our hands, and we can still work. We're all qualified to learn. We're all qualified to teach. We're all qualified to help people and to develop a relationship with Christ. And honestly, I think that as older members of the congregation, it's obvious that there are young men out there that need taught. And when you think about it, you know, I've known young... My son-in-law, John Sueno, he just started preaching. He's in his 40s. But you know what? It only took him a year or so to get going. And then now he's preaching on a regular basis at Medina. He didn't have to wait 60 years to preach. So if you're 65 and you've never preached, well, you know, in a year, you can prepare yourself to preach. So there's no end to it. We don't have to be real. You always need for older women, too. And I probably going to get beat up for saying that, but mature women. We have a need for that. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Who will do what Paul commanded? To be teachers of good things, especially to teach younger women to love their husbands and their children and the wives to be homemakers. Sadly, many women stop teaching when they reach a certain age, and just like any of the men, they command, even though they're still commanded to teach. If you don't feel qualified to teach, prepare yourself. That goes for both men and women. Commit yourselves to the study and the learning of God's Word, and then take what you learn, even in a short period of time, and prepare yourself to go out and pass that on. Just give it to somebody else. And there's always need for service toward the elderly. And the service that the elderly can provide is amazing. Hospitality. Benevolence. Many elderly are financially secure, able to do what younger families cannot do. Edification and evangelism is something that we can do at any age. It's right there in our fingertips. It's in our hands. We can do this. We can sit down and study with other people, young and old. Even the most infirm can do things in the kingdom of the Lord. Send cards, mail letters, make phone calls. We have one lady in our congregation. Now, I'm not really sure how old Dora is. I probably shouldn't even say it on the microphone, but she's well up in age. And you know, she loves to make phone calls. So don't think because you're older that somehow you're being pushed out. You're not. You're not being pushed out. And we can spend time as elderly people in fasting and in prayer. Praying not only privately and in an intercessory way, we can pray together corporately with others. Pray for the sick. Pray for those that are involved in sin. Pray for the saints here. And from the text that we read, chapter Psalm 92 at verse 15, you remember that? To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. We can do that. Proclaim the strength of God to the next generation. Recount God's majesty and power and mighty works to the next generation. You know, the job of a parent is to raise up the children in the admonition of the Lord, you know, to teach them along the way. But our job is the same. We're not supposed to take the job of the parent, but we're supposed to be helpers and aids to help young people learn. And so we can do that. Mighty works of God. Talk to people about God. You know, I saw something on the internet that one of the brothers in the church posted recently. It says, when an old man died in a geriatric ward. The nursing home, it was in an Australian country town, and he had died, and the people basically believed that he had nothing left of any value. And when the nurses were going through all his stuff and his meager possessions, you know what they found? They found this poem. Its quality to them and the content impressed the staff so much that they made copies and started sending it around, distributing to other nurses in hospitals and nursing homes. And eventually this thing was published. And this old man, with nothing left to give to the world, is literally now an author of this poem. And as we look at this cranky old man, what does he say? He said, "What do you see, nurses? What do you see? What are you thinking when you're looking at me?" He says, "A cranky old man, not very wise, uncertain of habit, with faraway eyes, who dribbles his food and makes no reply, when you say in a loud voice, 'I do wish you'd try,' who seems not to notice the things that you do, and forever is losing a sock or a shoe, who, resting or not, lets you do as you will, with bathing and feeding, the long day to fill. Is that what you're thinking? Is that what you see? To open your eyes, nurse, you're not looking at me. Then open your eyes, nurse, you're not looking at me. I tell you who I am, as I sit here so still, as I do at your bidding, as I eat at your will. I'm a small child of 10 with a father and a mother, brothers and sisters who love one another. A young boy of 16 with wings on his feet, dreaming that soon now a lover he'll meet. A groom soon at 20, my heart gives a leap, remembering the vows that I promised to keep. At 25 now, I've young of my own, who need me to guide and secure happy home. A man of 30, my young men now grown fast, bound to each other with ties that should last. At 40, my young sons have grown and are gone, but my woman is beside me to see I don't mourn. At 50, once more, babies play around my knees. Again, we know children, my loved one and me, my loved one and me. Dark days are upon me. My wife is now dead. I look at the future. I shudder with dread. For my young are all rearing, young of their own. And I think of the years and the love that I've known. I'm now an old man, and nature is cruel. It's just to me, old age, I look like a fool. The body, it crumbles. Grace and vigor depart. There is now a stone where I once had a heart. But inside this old carcass, a young man still dwells. And now and again, my battered heart swells. I remember the joys. I remember the pain. And I'm loving and living life over again. I think of the years, all too few, gone too fast. And accept the stark fact that nothing can last. So open your eyes, people. Open and see. Not a cranky old man. Look, see me. All of us, at one point in our life, is going to be able to relate to that. We need to be thinking about that. Because the day will come all too soon when we literally can't. And while we're here, we need to redeem the time. Paul wrote, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Spiritually, we're growing strong. Physically, we grow weak. But until I can no longer walk or no longer speak, I need to be about the business of the Lord until the Lord I meet. Certainly, people of all ages should be able to relate. People should be willing to prepare themselves to be of service, be willing to present themselves in service to the Lord. Don't let the world's pattern guide your hearts. There's problems related to youth. We need to help them along the path. I hope and pray that this lesson has really been an encouragement, that no matter who you are, how old you are, you can do the work. And if you have any needs this day, the church is here to help you. Well, regardless of what that is, if you have not been baptized into the Lord, Jesus Christ died upon a cross. His blood was shed. He was buried in the grave. 3 days later, He arose from the grave. That's who Jesus is. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. And He's ready to receive you unto Himself through baptism, the obedience to the command of Christ, to have your sins washed away by His blood and to be added to the church. If you haven't done that, today's the day. And if you have any other need, whatever that may be, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.